Our topic today is Mincha Shechasra, which when we broke up the topics, we noted that this was a short topic, which is why we're doing the Chavur a little bit early. It's just a couple of Ha'aros. The next Sugya, which is the Shiraim Shechasru, that's Noach's topic, it's going to be much bigger, and it relates to that Sugya of Ein Basar, Ein Dam, and it's a much broader topic. But here, we felt like it was too much to try to put both sugyas into one chabura. So we're just going to do a couple of ha'aras today, and then we'll have much more time for the next sugya coming up. So the first ha'ara that immediately jumps out at us in this Gemara, where the Gemara presents the machlokas between Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, regarding a mincha shechasra koden kamitza, whether or not, as Rabbi Yochanan says, you can go home and fill it from other flour or other oil that you have, or Reish Lakish says no, is the Chok Nasan's point. The Chok Nasan says, wait a minute, how does this machlokas relate to the previous machlokas in which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish debated the issue of Balal Chutz Lazara? What happened in that context? There, Rabbi Yochanan said, oh no, there the Belila Bechutz passed your mincha. And yet here he's telling you that until the Maisa Kmitza, it's okay, you can bring from home. So how could it be that the Belila happening Bechutz, that's a problem, but the Chsaron, that's not going to pose a problem for your mincha, so you can fill it from home? And Reish Lakish is exactly the opposite. Reish Lakish said, oh, Bala Bechutz is not a problem, but in this case, the kviyus demana means that once there's a chisaron, it's totally disqualified. So the Chok Nasan, he is mechalek, and his chiluk is so apt in light of the chabura that Rabbi Kraft discussed last week in our understanding of the concept of blila. That for Rabbi Yochanan, if we understand that what's happening in the Maisa of blila, Allah, let's say the Chidushe Hagram, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's understanding, that it's not an avoda per se even, it's a part of the process of the mincha, it's a necessary stage in the preparation of a mincha, so that necessary stage must take place in the Azara. According to the simple understanding of the Gemara, it's the consequence, the fact that there was Kedushas Kli that gave it the status of a mincha. But giving something the status of a mincha so that all the processes need to be done is not the same thing as establishing the, I don't know if you want to call it the contours or the amount or the size or the fixed cheftza of the mincha. It's telling us that it has the status of a mincha for the purpose of the processes, but it's not defining this amount as being the only mincha. I don't know what terminology you're going to give to it, the Kedushas mincha, whatever term you're going to use, but what does it show us? It shows us that according to Rabbi Yochanan Lechora, the din of Belila is not a din in the Kli Sharis. If it were a din in the Kli Sharis, then that Kli Sharis Lechora, it would be difficult to say that it fixes the Belila for purposes of Mincha in the Belila side, but it doesn't fix it for purpose of the Kvias in the amount, in the measure, right? You could say that, but it would be very difficult. It's much better to understand that for Rabbi Yochanan, Belila is a process. And there is the establishment of a Shem Mincha once it goes into the Kli Sharis. Of course, there's the Kedushas Haguf that goes onto it, but Kedushas Haguf is not the same as Kedushas Karban. So Kedushas Haguf, right, Tosus is going to debate Rashi about whether or not there's even a Psul Yotze there. But it's not a Kedushas Karban. Ah, you have to do Blila? Blila is not an expression of the Kedusha of the Mincha. Blila is an expression of the Maisa needs to be done to the Mincha as it follows through the process to create the Shem Mincha. The Mincha is not going to have a Shem Mincha until you do the Kmitza. Right? It's perfect. What about Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish will also make a lot of sense in light of what we thought about in terms of the Maisa Belila. Especially if we understand that for Reish Lakish, the Belila taking place outside means that it doesn't have the status of an Avoda. Belila is only a process, but it doesn't have any significance. The bola b'chutz, even though it's true, it was in a kli sharis before, but we downgrade the ma'isa b'lila, right? Like the first mahalach in the footnotes in Rav Ilan, in that Knesset Rishonim, in that first footnote. So according to Reish Lakish, well, it's not really a significant avoda. So the fact that it's not an avoda is not a stira to saying that it already had the kviyas of a mincha. It is a mincha. It is a status of mincha. It's kavua. This is the measure. And you're not allowed to add to it. The kviyus of demana is significant. But that's not a stira to saying the blila b'chutz is not a problem. Because blila b'chutz is just telling you that blila is not really an avoda at all. And what you did outside is not significant. And then you have to deal with, royal abila or not. But according to Reish Lakish, it's not a stira. So the Chok Nasan is actually a perfect continuation of the understanding that we raised in last week's Chabura. Awesome. Okay, that's number one. Number two, also relating to what we discussed over this Amud about the nature of Belila, we can wonder, which we did not talk about last time, about the nature of Belila. Is Belila a process which is necessary for the shame carbon, that when you bring a carbon mincha, you have to check the box of having done belila? Or is it that the ingredients of the mincha require mixing? Is it din in the mincha, or is it din in the ingredients? So here's the nafkamina. The Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, who, by the way, in this Gemara have multiple ha'aras that are overlapping and dealing with the same issues, they both raise the question of, in this case, it's not clear that the chisaron is happening before blila. The fact that it's open, the door is open until the maisa kmitza, would lend you to believe that even the chisaron could be happening after blila. So what are you going to do? You have a mincha which is mixed. Some of it falls away. It's a chisaron. So what do you do now? So Rabbi Yochanan says, mevi misoch beso. Great, right? But how does that help you? You already did the belila. How can you do belila on the new materials? You already did the maisa belila. The belila was already done. Now, there is a parenthetical problem here, which the Brisker Rav deals with. The Chazon Ish makes a new kimta to solve this problem. The Brisker Rav says, how do you assess the measure? How do you know how much shemen and how much solace is missing from your bowl? So the Chazon Ish makes just a practical ukimta that it must be that there was some shemen that was off to the side that didn't get mixed in, and that fell away, and you can assess based on eyeballing it how much was lacking. Because otherwise, if it was mixed in, how would you ever know what the ratio was of solace to flour? So leaving aside that question, because the Chazon Ish's practical point can solve that, but the question is, what do you mean? You already did belila. So the Chazon Ish says, it's not a problem, because when you put the new ingredients in, it's like one long belila. Belila arichta. So what do you get the impression from this Chazon Ish? That what? What's that?
So it hasn't ended yet.
It hasn't ended, but why does he think that? Where is the belila required? It's not required just in the shame mincha, because maybe you could have said that belila was already done to this mincha, and now I'm just being mamale the chisaron, and there's two dinim. There's a din the belila, there's a din of the shir. The Chazon Ish evidently thinks that belila relates to the ingredients, that all the ingredients have to be mixed. And therefore, you have to say it's a belila richta. But if you look at the Minchas Avram, he takes the opposite approach. The Minchas Avram, I don't know if everybody saw it, he has a few ha'aris, like small ha'aris on this daf. Awesome. He says, you know why it's okay? Because you already were mekayim the din belila. What's the difference? L'chora, they're arguing about this point. That the Minchas Avram is saying, all you need to do is check the box that you had a din belila in this mincha. The fact that all the ingredients actually physically were not mixed together is not a problem. Because if you could be mekayim the din blila, which you did, and now you have a din chisaron which you fixed, you're good. Whereas the Chazanish says, no, the din blila is a din in the ingredients. The fact that you had blila before does not solve the problem for this corner of the mincha. Every corner needs to have it. It's two different approaches to understanding this maisa of blila. So now, yeah.
Do you think this machlokas might relate to the two different views we saw about halavah bila?
So I was wondering about that. Noach is wondering whether this relates to the question of kol haroi labila, and I also wonder if it relates to the previous question about the function of belila, right? The question of kol haroi labila, meaning is it like that lashon that we saw in the Knesset Rishonim, that it's the quoting from that Rashbam, that it's like. It's like you used Sa'orim if you got a 61 Isaro Mincha, right? So I think that is a good question. I'm not sure about that. I also wondered if it relates to this previous point, that if it's more related to the Klisharis, we pointed this out earlier, all the pieces need to touch the Klisharis, right? We even had a question, what happens in a Kli Lach if there's pieces of Mincha, which were not mixed with oil that didn't touch the side of the Kli? And is that a problem of Kli Lach B'Makadish Yavesh? I wonder if if when we discuss Belila in the context of Kli Sharis, it sounds more like all the things in here have to be mixed. It's a din in the shear. And those two can't be separated. It can't be that half of your Mincha was not Nivlal. It's part of the shear, and it relates exactly to what you're saying, that it's a din in the klisharis, it's a din in the shear, and therefore it's got to be up till 60, because it's all about the measure, and then you can't differentiate between the mice of Lila being done if it's not done. Or you say, no, it's not so much a din in the shear, it's just a general psul, and if you could check that box, it's not related so much to klishari. So I was wondering if maybe those kind of relate to each other. Both of those chakiras connect to each other. So I think it's interesting. It's not mukhrach, but I think it's definitely a thought. Yeah.
The non-Rashbam view more heavily emphasizes the idea of a key of blila.
Yes. Not so much about how much. Okay. Yeah. Is that what you guys thought in Seder also? Yeah.
The whole
right. It's also interesting. I wonder who deals with this, how this din compares to other dinim in Kol Torah Kula, like for din of chatzitzas and other things. If you say that it's not a din in the shir and it's just a local din, so to what extent can you extrapolate from this local din in Kachim to, you know, chatzitzas in a base of starim, that it's got to be roi labias mayim? In what way are these dinim analogous? So it's interesting. Okay, so I think it's a good point. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara now is telling us that the potential problem here is that it's a lack, it's a din of chisaron, which the Gemara in Daf Tesamid Beis on the next Amud, I don't know if anybody saw this yet, derives the problem from min ha-mincha. So the Minchas Avram here has an interesting ha'ara, where he points out that you could see this issue of a mincha shechasra in two ways. You could see it as a chisaron in the shir, and therefore you have the absence of sufficient mitzvah, you know, components. You don't have what you need, and if you lack what you need, so it's obviously insufficient, and it's not disqualified. It never rises to the threshold of the kiyum. Or he says maybe that's not true. It's not so much that it doesn't rise to the threshold, but rather you, by having a lack of shear, have passled that mincha. There's a shame sul that you have introduced onto the mincha. This is that classic chakira that comes up all the time of you know, already have it, don't need it. It's like the chesaron of shelo lishma. Was it a chesaron hechsher or was it a machshava poselas? So he has the same vort here, and he quotes it based on the Briska Rav, where he bases on a Tosfos and Zvachim Adaf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph on the top, where Tosfos sounds like he thinks that the mincha shechasra is in Ola Yerid. So Tosfos says, why should it be that it should be im Ola Yerid? So says the mincha Savram, he says, because it's a posel. If you told me that it was just a chisaron neshir, then you should say that it's a psula bakodesh, it's an insufficient mincha, but you shouldn't say that it's an ola yerid. But if you understand that the chisaron in the size of the mincha is a psul be'etzem ha-mincha, he thinks that's why it would make sense for Tosfos to explain that mincha shechasra is yerid. Nonetheless, right, Reb Yochanan says that that's only once you did the kmitza. Why? Because the kmitza is kovas, as opposed to Reish Lakish, who says that the kli sharis, the original kviyusa demana, was kovad as a mincha that you can't add from your house. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's dafka the maisa hakmitza. So here, the Briska Rav has an interesting point. He wonders, what is it about the kmitza that precludes it from allowing any other flour to be brought from home? What's the problem? So one answer you could say is because when you do the Maisa Kmitza, you have created a new shame for both the Kometz and what remains. What's that? Chalos Shame Shiraim. So the Briska Rav explains, and he has a raya for this, that he thinks it's not because there was an Asiyas Shirayim. Vaharaya, he says, think about it. If Rabbi Yochanan did not say that the psul of Kmitza, that the din of Kmitza was Koveya, Rabbi Yochanan would have allowed you to add even afterwards, even though there was Shirayim. Now, you could say that that's good for the Chiddush, but what he quotes, what the Briska Rav explains, is that the kmitza itself, the action of the creation of the kmitza, that's what invests the kedusha on the mincha, and therefore you can't add anything afterwards. What's the nafkamina of this understanding? The nafkamina is kmitzas psulim. Kmitzas psulim doesn't create shirayim. And yet, the Briska Rav says, even though it doesn't create Shirayim, we will say that you can't bring from home. Why not? There's no Shirayim status on the remnant. The answer is it doesn't matter. Since there was a Maisa Kmitza done, it's the Maisa which is Koveya, the Shem Mincha. And even though the Maisa was done B'Psul, and there's no Shirayim Shechasru, but that Maisa still constitutes the creation of the Shem Mincha, and therefore there's a problem of Tosefes. So that's the Briska Rav's Ha'ara here on the daf, that you can't be Mosif according to Rabbi Yochanan B'Shas Kmitza because it's the Maisa Kmitza. Yeah?
I didn't totally understand that point, because if you thought that the Kmitza of a Pasul is a Posel, then I don't need to necessarily say, this is the question we asked when we talked about Ben Bezerra.
Yeah.
I don't say the mincha is now a chatzashal mincha. Just say it's been nifsal and I can't bring anything from home because there's an external posel.
Right. I don't know if we solved that at Ben Bezerra either. I don't know.
That's how, like, the right, that's how you explain the halakha.
Right.
I'm going to say that Ben Bezerra is wrong. You can't put the kometz back in the bucket because
you've posseled it, not because it's a shame mincha.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear the question. So all of this is with the understanding for Rabbi Yochanan that the Maisa Kmitza gives it the Shem Mincha. But what happens when you have a Mincha that doesn't have a Maisa Kmitza? Whose Mincha doesn't have a Shem, doesn't have a Maisa Kmitza? That's right. Minchas Kohen. There is a Machlokas Tanoim about this, about whether there is a minchas kohen nikmetzas or not. We paskin, the Chachamim say, Minchas Kohen is not Nikmetzes. So what's the din in such a case? So both the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav wonder about this. And the Chazon Ish concludes that he thinks that there is no kfias here, which is interesting, because even though Tosfos introduced the idea that if you're talking about a Minchas Kohen, since there is no future Kmitza, it will already have the Psul Yotze, right? Tosfos, we saw that earlier, Tosfos, on the last point, in the last part of the Sugya, that Tosfos thinks that there's no Psul Yotze once there's Kedushas Kli, but once there's Kedushas Korban, there is a Psul Yotze, but in the case of Kohen, since there's no Maisa Kmitza, the original Kedusha is going to invest the mincha with the full kedusha, even to the extent that it's going to be nifsal b'yotze, but the Chazon Ish wants to be mechalik. The Minchas Avraham was not so sure about this, but the Chazon Ish wants to be mechalik. It sounds like that was his conclusion. Chazon Ish was started as a suffolk, but he wanted to conclude that there was no kvias of the shame mincha to preclude the Tosefis. So what you have to say from there is that the size of the mincha is different than the kedusha of the mincha. And these are two different dinim. That even though for the purposes of psul yotze, the kedushas korban, that is in force, but because you don't have the maisa kmitza, similar to this idea of the brisker rav, that it's a din in the maisa, not a question of shirayim versus kometz, therefore you don't have the establishment of the kfias in terms of the shir. Because if you said it was a din of asiya shirayim, you should say, look, there is no shirayim over here. It's all the equivalent of kometz. But evidently, it's not, it's two different dinim, at least according to the Chazon Ish, which is what he says. Okay. And then the last point that we'll address here is the Gemara's raya from Yitzika in the Log Shemen. Because the Mishnah says in Nagoim, in Perek Yud Dalet, in Mishnah Yud, that if it was Chasar Ad Shalo Yatzak, what was the Lashon?
I'm sure there's Torah's Kohen.
Torah's Kohen was right here.
It was written in pencil. And
so
you have to quote it.
So it is here. Chasar halug, im ad shelo yotzak yimalenu. How is that work for Reish Lakish tiyufda? You see here that there's a chisaron until you did the yitzika. So the Gemara is drawing a parallel between the yitzika and the kmitza, which is interesting. So first of all, what's going on in this case? So the din is that they're supposed to take the, ideally, the kohen is supposed to take a log shemen for the mitzora and put it in another kohen's hand. And then from that other kohen's hand, he's supposed to dip his finger in it and do seven hazaz toward the heichal and then do the matan bohonos on the mitzora. The Mishnah there says that if he did it on his own left hand, he did the yitzik on his own hand, that would be okay. But the Gemara's comparison is, what's that?
Social distancing.
Right. Social distancing. The Gemara's comparison is between the Maisa Kmitza and the Yitzika of the Kohen. So, just 2 points on this. Tosfos wonders, how did Reish Lakish not know this Mishnah? So I saw in one of the Likud Svarim, I forget where it is, that suggested that even though the Amoraim were knowledgeable in all Mishnayos, Seder Taharos is an exception.
Oh,
I don't remember where I saw this.
Well, so
I saw it somewhere. No, Sfas-Emes, I'm going to get to Sfas-Emes in a second. But I don't know if anybody is aware of this idea or saw it corroborated.
Like, that's why there's no Gemara on Taros, because
I don't think it's why there was no Gemara on Taros, but it could be that that is related.
Yeah.
The Sfas-Emes' answer is that Reish Lakish thinks that there's no raya from that Mishnah. Sfas-Emes first thinks, he thinks it's fundamentally different. Over there, Sfas-Emes suggests there's no Gzeres HaKasav. Here you have the Gzeres HaKasav of Mina Mincha. And interestingly, if you look in the Tosfos Yontif there on the Mishnayos, the Tosfos Yontif quotes the pasuk of Mina Mincha to teach you Chosar Alug. And so he says, I don't understand, what does the Log Shemin Shel Metzora have to do with Mina Mincha? It's not a din of Mincha. So Sfas-Emes then concludes, he says, maybe you can bring a rye from there. And what Reish Lakish did not know was not the Mishnah, but it was the Braisa or the Sifra. And this is what the argument is about. So it comes back to Tosfos, and this is how there's a whole Sushta in the first place. With the Sifra is here in Parashas Metzora, Perek Gimel, Vav, Milog Hashemen V'yotzak, Chaser alog atchlo yotzak imalena mishi yotzak yavi acher ketchila div Rabbi Yishmael, div Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Yishmael, etc. Take a look at the Pirush Haravid here, who explains this. So it turns out that we can compare Log Shemen to Mincha because they each have their own limud, and even though you could argue, and that's part of what the end of the piece in the Mincha Safram is discussing, is how there is a parallel between Yitzika and Maisa Hakmitza. There are some parallels in the idea of Asiya Shirayim, even though it's not necessarily a din in the Asiya Shirayim. But the Tosfos question of how did Reish Lakish not know this, the answer, according to the Sfas-Emes, is that Reish Lakish knew the Mishnah, but he did not know the Braisa. And therefore, the assumption that Rabbi Yochanan was making, that Mishnah is a din in min ha-mincha, like the Tosfos Yontif says over there, Reish Lakish said, I totally disagree with you, and therefore they're not comparable dinim, as opposed to if you understand that it has its own Gzeres HaKasav, so then you could say, okay, that Gzeres HaKasav is parallel to the Gzeres HaKasav that we have here.